We're going to read God's word now and recover from the shock of what I'm saying. And we're going to read from Acts chapter 2, and verses 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And just for a bit of context, this passage comes after Jesus has ascended into heaven following his resurrection and commissioned his disciples to go and make disciples of many nations. And he speaks of the Holy Spirit coming to anoint them for the task of sharing his word, sharing the gospel across the nations. And it comes after the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has come and filled the believers. Peter has addressed the crowd with power and authority in the Holy Spirit, and a number of people, 3,000, were added to the number of believers that day. And we read here about the fellowship of the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Lord God, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Help us to not only read it and understand it, but to apply it into our lives for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been wonderful to celebrate the children and young people of this church today. I hope you agree and don't feel too left out. Praying that God will grow and mature them in a new academic year, and as they step up to new Sunday school classes and school year groups, we hope that their knowledge and relationship with God is also similarly stepped up. Those who have children, have you asked what they would like to do when they grow up? Just shout them out. Any of your children suggested what they would like to do when they grow up? Electrician. Very good. What's that? I'll come back to that. Yeah. Any others? Footballer. It's good money in that, apparently. That's why. Yeah. What's that? Nurse. Very good. Spider-Man. Fantastic. I never wanted to be Superman. I always thought I was. Yeah. Very good. Well, I've had similar conversations with my oldest daughter, Hope, who incidentally told me once that I should get a proper job and become a builder. Hope, I'm a builder of sorts. Hope would like to be a policewoman, she tells us, and we're quite happy with that. But ultimately, what matters most to us is that she matures in her relationship with Christ, and that she matures in his likeness. Surely this ambition is something we share for ourselves at whatever age. And with this Step Up Sunday theme in mind, a new academic year provides the opportunity for us to consider our Christ-likeness, and our devotion to God. The early church sets a wonderful example for us, I think, in Acts chapter 2. Together with devotion and the breaking of bread, Luke writes about two other disciplines that form the emphasis of my sermon today. You see, if we're to grow in Christ and in our Christ-likeness, then we must do two things. First, we must be devoted to the apostles' teaching. The apostles were doing exactly as they were instructed by Jesus, Jesus instructed in Matthew 28 that they make disciples of all nations. And not only make disciples, but teach them to obey everything that he had commanded them. And this teaching was not peripheral to the fellowship of early believers. It wasn't just an add-on to their life as Christians or an add-on to their life as the church, but rather listed by Luke in Acts chapter 2 as the first of our four disciplines or marks, to which he also says they were devoted. Now, what do we understand by the word devoted or devotion? Well, the Greek New Testament word concerns being attached. Attached to each of these four disciplines or marks. I love that. That they were attached to the apostles' teaching. Not just vaguely interested. Not just referred to the teaching every so often, but they were attached to the apostles' teaching. Joined, fastened, connected. One Bible commentator says the Greek indicates that they gave the apostolic teaching their constant attention. Again, they didn't just refer to the word of God. They didn't just refer to the apostles' teaching, but they gave it their constant attention. And another Bible commentator says they sat at the apostles' feet, hungry to receive instruction. Imagine what that feels like, preachers amongst us. Imagine if your congregation gathered before you, hungry to receive instruction from the Word of God. And this has nothing to do with our instruction, but has everything to do with what God wants to say through us and through His Word into our lives. We read in the Gospels, don't we, about crowds of people who follow Jesus, even when he was trying to find solitude, even when he was trying to find an opportunity to pray and spend time in his Father's company. We read about crowds who were so hungry to receive instruction from Jesus that they would go after him. They would follow him. They would even make holes in roofs so that they can receive instruction from Jesus. They knew that he offered what no one else could offer. Healing, well-being, the very words of God. And the same is true for us. One Bible commentator says, where no attention is given to teaching and to constant lifelong Christian learning, people quickly revert to the worldview or mindset of the surrounding culture and end up with their minds shaped by whichever social pressures are most persuasive, with Jesus somewhere around as a pale influence or memory. They're deeply challenging words, but I think very true words. And surely, as followers of Jesus, as his disciples, we seek not to be shaped by the attitudes of what society throws at us, but rather shaped by what Jesus has to say to us, what God has to say to us in his word. When we're making huge decisions in our lives, let's turn to what the Bible has to say about it, rather than what society has to say about it. And this seems to be a huge challenge for us. It doesn't seem obvious to us anymore that we would turn to the Word of God when we want to respond to our own personal needs, pastoral situations, responses to attitudes, subjects. Surely, we should be shaped by the Word of God, by what God is saying about these things, rather than be shaped by our culture and our society. If we want to grow in our knowledge and our relationship with God, If we want to live as Christ commanded and become more like him, then we must devote ourselves to the teaching and the reading of God's word. And here are some suggestions for you. Let's just read the Bible. We've been given this incredible gift, the Bible. I remember reading this book called The Heavenly Man, which spoke of a Chinese man who was so hungry for the word of God that he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed until a Bible was brought to him. At the time, he couldn't get hold of one. You just couldn't get a Bible in China. And so he prayed and prayed and prayed because his hunger was such that he wanted to read the word of God. We have this huge blessing, the word of God. Here it is, available to us. You can buy it in secular stores even, like Waterstones. Other places are available. The word of God is so available to us. We have phones where we can download it for free. Let's read it. Let's not just cast aside this gift. Let's not face our personal issues and scrap around looking for answers when God has given us his guidebook here. But let's read the Bible. Let's join a small group where the word of God is studied and understood, talked about, unraveled. Let's read Christian literature. Read daily devotionals. Let's download apps and podcasts. There are probably some that are better than others. But let's intentionally devote ourselves to the teaching and reading of God's word. And let us follow the example of early believers in Acts chapter 2. So they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the word of God. But secondly, they were also devoted to prayer. Some days ago, I read a study from a daily devotional, some of you may have heard of it, called Every Day with Jesus. And it spoke about the place of prayer in seeing God's glory revealed. The writer said, with reference to Habakkuk, "Much modern-day praying, I believe, often lacks the depth of understanding that we see illustrated in the lives of the ancient prophets. When the church gets back to powerful praying, then and only then will it get powerful results." Now, you may not agree with every word, as I probably wouldn't agree with every word, but I like the sentiment of what the writer is saying here. When praying, we must understand that we communicate with a God who is alive, who is able and willing to provide powerful responses when his people humble themselves and pray in accordance with his will and his perfect plan. Church, do we pray? Thank you, Graham. Do we pray? When we pray, do we believe that God is going to listen? When we pray, do we believe that God is going to respond to his people? Some years ago now, I was in a very long Christian Union committee meeting. I think it was about, I don't know how long, 8 hours long. It was very unnecessary. And during the course of this committee meeting, one member of the team suggested that we pray for growth in the Christian Union. We were at roughly 60 to 80 members at the time, with the academic year ending, and this committee member suggested that we pray for numbers to double. Now, I felt very uncomfortable with this situation. First of all, the prayer seemed to me to be demanding of God. And then secondly of all, I felt uncomfortable because I'm not really in the numbers game. I want to see God's church grow, yes, but I'm not really interested in how many people are there for the sake of numbers. Does that make sense? But God taught me a lesson in that process. Because the following academic year, having prayed that God would double our numbers, God not only doubled our numbers, but increased our number beyond double. God loves it when we pray. God loves it when we devote ourselves to him. He's not dead, but alive. He wants to respond to his children when they humble themselves and come before him in prayer. The early church devoted themselves to prayer, and we don't know whether this concerns specific prayers or times of prayer, but in any case, Acts emphasizes the importance of prayer in the Christian life, both private and public. And one Bible commentator puts it like this, says prayer was integral to the whole forward thrust of the church. And in Luke's eyes, at least, the vitality of the church was a measure of the reality of their prayers. In other words, early believers prayed and God did marvelous things. If they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer alongside the breaking of bread and to fellowship, is it any wonder that we read in verse 47, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved? What do you think? I don't think so. They were hungry for God. So hungry for God, they devoted themselves to reading his word, to hearing his teaching, to praying and seeking him out, asking for his blessing and his moving. Is it any wonder that the Lord added to their number daily? What could God do in our lives if only we would devote ourselves to him? What could he do? What could he do in my life? What could he do through me if only I would devote myself more fully to reading his word and to praying, to bringing myself and my life and my church before him, asking for his blessing and his glory to be revealed? What could God do? My guess is he could probably do more than I could even imagine. What could he do in this church? What could he do through this church if only we would devote ourselves fully to him? Reading his word and seeking him through prayer. Again, my guess is he'd probably do immeasurably more than I can possibly imagine. And let me tell you, we've moved through a season where it's not been so easy. At least that's how I would have interpreted it. Some people have left the church. The staff team's totally been shaked up. And at times I've been despairing. And all I could do is trust in God. All I could do was humble myself and say, well, Lord, this isn't my church. It's yours. I'm failed. I'm flawed. They can't depend on me. We need to depend on you. So you help me to understand what's going on here. And ultimately, you do what you want with your church. And has he responded? I believe he has. He's brought in a new staff team. And so far, they all seem to be very good. He's brought in new families, even from different countries. We had a newcomers reception last week, and it was all very last minute. But we had, I think, four groups of newcomers. Some had only attended that one Sunday, but I know we've had new people attending throughout the summer. God hasn't abandoned us. He's with us. And he is fulfilling his purposes, his plan. And the lesson that I need to cling on to from the experience prior to the summer is to devote myself fully to him. And to bring this church before him and ask that he is the center of this church, that he will fulfill his plans and purposes. And if we do that, we will see, I believe, immeasurably more than we can possibly imagine in response. So we must be devoted to God in prayer. And I just want to, at this point, celebrate those who have committed themselves to prayer in the past. And not so long ago, we celebrated the life of Dorothy Fox. Doreen, I always get those two names mixed up, who it is. Doreen Fox. And the one thing that I remember about Doreen and Lillian is still with us, although in a home in Herne Bay, is I remember when we were praying for the project, for all of those years that we were praying for the project, Doreen and Lillian would always be there without fail. Despite their age, despite their fragility, they were always there. And to be honest, they probably couldn't hear most of what was going on in the meeting. But they were there. And they were not only there, but they were praying. And it's true to say in the past as well that many more senior members of the church had prayed over a long period of time that children would come to this church. And what happened? The Lord responded. And I think it's been talked about in the past that he didn't respond perhaps quite as we expected. He responded first with students, and children have come, and children are continuing to be added to our number. And so I think it's helpful to... Jenny just laughs there. I don't think she knows anything I don't. No, good. But what I want to just recognize is that when we do devote ourselves to prayer, God responds. He listens and he responds. And so I want to encourage us in this season that we continue to devote ourselves to God. In this new academic year, why not allow this moment, the beginning of September, to be a moment when we step up our devotion to the Lord, our devotion to him as we read his word, and our devotion to him as we pray. Now, rightly, here's some ideas for how you could be devoted to prayer. Pray alone, pray with others. Pray at CBC. We have morning prayer meetings here at 9:30 until 10. We know that doesn't suit everybody. But if you are free and able on any of those mornings, join us as we pray for the church, and we pray for individuals as well as for ministries and activities, and join us on the day of prayer. Now, rightly or wrongly, I decided to call this sermon the Devotion Ladder. And as I was thinking about the conclusion of my talk, I thought, I could do with a prop. And here it is. Thankfully, no children have been up and down it. I thought that might happen. This could be seen as a devotion ladder. This could be seen as our relationship with God. Perhaps our full commitment, our full devotion to God can be seen as being the top step. And our limited or lack of devotion to God could be represented by the bottom of the ladder. As we sit here this morning, where do we see ourselves on this ladder of devotion to God? Do we see ourselves on the first step, on the floor? Or do we see ourselves, well, hopefully we don't see ourselves at the top, because I can imagine all of us have got work to do, but do we see ourselves as being quite far up the ladder? And where do we want to be? As we reach Christmas, as we reach next summer, where do we want to be on this devotion ladder? Do we want to remain at the bottom? Or do we want to have upward mobility? Do we want to be working our way up the devotion ladder so that we are ever nearer, ever closer to God? I believe if we do increase our devotion, then actually our Christ-likeness will also have upward mobility. That as we gaze upon his face, as we gaze upon his glory, that his glory will shine upon us and will be reflected in us. Now, I know that sometimes life throws things at you and that may cause us to stumble down the ladder, because maybe we cast aside the devotion in the midst of what we're battling. But as we sit here this morning, where are we? And where do we want to be? My prayer for you all is that you would be, that we would be all upwardly mobile. The prayer for myself is that I would be upwardly mobile. You know what I'm trying to say. That I would increase my devotion to God in the reading of his word. That I would increase my devotion to God by praying more, by seeking his face. That would be my prayer for you personally, but it would be my prayer for us as a church. So I want to lead us in a response this morning, and I want this response actually to be very practical. And I'm going to invite you to do something during the closing worship, and you're not going to be forced to do it. You can obviously have a choice to do it. But what I want to do is give you the opportunity to not just hear what I'm saying and to nod and think, oh yeah, that sounds like a nice idea, and then forget about it in the morning. Maybe that's wishful thinking at lunchtime. But to act now and to commit yourself before God to this upward mobility. How am I going to invite you to do that? Well, I'm going to invite you to do that by just praying where you are, by coming before the Lord and confessing your own place with on the devotion ladder and committing yourself before him to seeking him more. And then I'm going to invite you to do some other practical things. I'm going to invite you to join us in prayer on Wednesday when we pray for the church, as we talk about believing that God will do glorious things and will respond when his people humble themselves and pray. I want to encourage that you join with us in prayer on Wednesday. I'm going to invite you to come and write your name down and potentially join a house group or a small group. So as we, again, increase our devotion to prayer and to Bible study, that you would do that in the company of others. And I'm going to invite you to go to the back where Jill Munday, our bookstall lady, is going to be stood. And she can talk to you about daily devotions that are available. She can take orders for any Christian literature that you might want on a subject that you're battling with. But I want to invite a response this morning. And not for my sake, but to assist you in your walk with God and to encourage that we as a church grow in him. So if you're able, would you like to stand? I'm going to invite the musicians to come and play, and the musicians will lead us in some songs of worship. So you're of course welcome to sing along. Can I invite the prayer ministry team to be available as well? Is that possible? And perhaps you just come up now and come and base yourselves in the usual corner down here on my right-hand side. And if perhaps the concept of devoting yourself more fully to God seems impossible, I want to encourage that you come and pray with someone, and that somebody prays with you and helps you to break through this barrier that perhaps potentially you're facing. So let's pray.